I'm with the Global Prayer Network again tonight. We're talking about spiritual gifts and how they're used in ministry, especially personal ministry. And we talked about kind of how the gifts operate last week. We talked about how these are not gifts that have anything to do with your learning or your ability or your talents, but they spiritual gifts are gifts that the Holy Spirit operates through you in order to accomplish something supernatural, something that no human being can do. It's beyond your talents, it's beyond your knowledge, and it's the Holy Spirit operating through you to do something that you cannot do on your own. The gifts are temporary. They're there just for a reason, to accomplish something good for someone. And then that gift is gone until the next time the Holy Spirit wants to move through you. That's spiritual gifts, and they're used in ministry. It's very effective in ministry. And I want to start tonight in kind of a different place. And as a matter of fact, tonight, I hope that at least once, maybe twice, you stand up and go, "Whoa, Father Dan, that's just not right." Okay? Because I'm going to give you the scriptures that show that I am right. And you'll see that we've been interpreting some things wrong all of our lives. And so get a pencil and paper, write these scriptures down. You're going to want to go back and study them, because this is life-changing stuff that I'm going to be presenting tonight. It'll be key to your effectiveness in ministry. And we're going to start in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 7. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Paul writes to the Philippians, and he says this: "Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus." Okay, what attitude was that? Verse 6. "Jesus, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped or held on to, but he emptied himself of himself, taking the form of a bondservant." That's pretty humble. "And he was made in the likeness of men." Listen, what that tells us is that Jesus gave up any advantage that he might have over a normal human being. Anything that came from him being God, his abilities as God to do supernatural things, he gave those things up so that he could become a bondservant just like us. He relinquished the God part of his nature to become just like us. And this attitude that Jesus took on was this. He says, "I'm a bondservant. I'm a steward of the things of my Father. And the only attitude that I have is to do what my Father tells me to do." Now, I'm going to make a statement that many of you are going to not believe. And that is that when Jesus laid aside his supernatural nature, that means he became just like us when it comes to signs and wonders. Did you know that Jesus wasn't able to heal anyone even any more than you or I are able to heal anyone? I know, "Father Dan, that's not true. Jesus is the great physician. He's the healer." Well, he is now. But he was not that when he walked on this earth. Okay? He walked as a man. He gave up his supernatural nature. That's what Philippians 2 tells us. So that he could have a very normal nature and show us, be our example as to how a spirit-filled person could live on this life and could operate in signs and wonders. Okay? Turn to John 5. I'm going to prove this to you. John 5, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 10. Jesus says something interesting here. Verse 19, I'm sorry. John 5 and 19. "Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, 'Truly, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Jesus didn't say, I choose not to do anything that I don't see of the Father first. He said, I cannot do anything that I don't see from the Father first. And then look at Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching his first sermon to the folks gathered there at the temple. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. He's, of course, talking about Jesus and how Jesus was raised from the dead. And in verse 22, he says this, Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him, just as you yourselves know. The word makes it very clear. Don't feel bad when I say that Jesus had to, he couldn't do anything on his own to do signs and wonders. Don't feel bad. You can't either. Turn to John 15, and I want to tell you what Jesus said about us. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, Live in me, and let me live in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it lives in the vine, so neither can you bear fruit unless you live in me. And now listen to this. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who lives in me and I am him, he bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. We're just like Jesus is. Apart from his Father, he couldn't do anything. Apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. So how does this work? How did Jesus do all these supernatural things, all these signs and wonders and miracles? Let's start at the very beginning. Turn to Luke chapter 3. This is the Gospel according to Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. It tells us the story when Jesus was baptized in water. But he wasn't just baptized in water. Now, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven saying, You're my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's get another look at that from the Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 1. And let's listen to what John the Baptist said about this circumstance, about Jesus being literally filled with the Holy Spirit. John testified saying, I have seen the Spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, of course, descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained on him. He, the Holy Spirit, remained on him, Jesus. And I didn't recognize him, but he who sent me, the Father, of course, to baptize in water, said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remaining on him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. John was told to look for the coming Messiah. And he said, this is how you'll know who the Messiah is. The Holy Spirit is going to come on him. It's going to rest on him. And it's going to stay on him. Now, today, when this happens, we call this being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We say that someone is being filled with the Holy Spirit. If Jesus had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for ministry, then how much more do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can minister? I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 15 years old, a long time ago, okay? And I have literally lived a life full of miracles ever since. Not because there's anything special about me, but because the Holy Spirit lives in me and He's doing His works through me, just like He lived through Jesus and did His works through Jesus. Turn back to Luke chapter 4. Keep your finger in Luke. We're going to go there a couple of times. Luke chapter 4. In verse 1, it tells us Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. Again, if we have to be led by the Holy Spirit, take heart. Jesus had to be led by the Holy Spirit too. He didn't know where he was going unless the Holy Spirit told him where to go. Turn back to John 14. This is right before Jesus. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 14, right before Jesus was crucified. Let's look at verses 16 and 17. Several times in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus talks about sending the gift of the Holy Spirit to the disciples. But Jesus makes an interesting statement here in John 14, 16, and 17. He says, "I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," he's talking about the Holy Spirit, "that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you, but he will be in you." What was Jesus talking about? Holy Spirit was with them, but he's going to be in them. Jesus was our example of a Spirit-filled man living on this earth, and he's telling them here that he wanted this same thing for his followers. If you're not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit, then start now asking the Father to give you this gift. You can see from these scriptures that he wants all of his followers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have this gift. Just like Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Turn to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Jesus is reading here from the book of Isaiah. He's reading a prophecy about himself. And listen to what it says. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he's sent me to proclaim the release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed." Jesus needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fulfill his call, just like we do. Notice that Jesus didn't start his ministry until after the Holy Spirit had come upon him, after he'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, after he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he tells his followers, he said, "Look, boys, don't even think about trying to minister until you too have been baptized in the Holy Spirit." Turn to the book of Acts. I told you we're going to have lots of scriptures tonight, right? Write them down. The book of Acts, chapter 1. This is after the resurrection, before Jesus ascends to heaven. Jesus has got his disciples there and he's talking to them, gathering them together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, "You have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then if you skip down to verse 8, he says, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even in the remotest parts of the world." Jesus said, wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit before starting to minister to others. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive the power that you need for ministry, he's telling them. And it was that exact same power that propelled Jesus' ministry. Romans 9. One more scripture along the way here. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Okay? Romans 8 and 9. I want to help you understand this concept of living in Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit is really kind of the same thing or about the same thing. Romans 8 and 9 says this, "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." Paul is equating here the Holy Spirit of God with the Spirit of Christ. In other words, to Paul, the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. It's the same Holy Spirit that animated Jesus' miracles. That's what works through us. When we talk about being in Christ or in Jesus, we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, this Spirit of Christ living inside of us. The way Jesus lives His life through us is through the same Holy Spirit that anointed Him while He was here on this earth. Now, turn to John, back to John chapter 14 and verse 10. Jesus talks about this idea that He is in the Father and the Father is in Him. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father living in me does His works through me. Now, so Jesus says, this is our relationship. And then look in John chapter 17. Jesus is praying for His disciples right before He's crucified. And one of the things He says in John 17 and verse 18, verse 18, is, Father, as You sent Me into the world, I send them into the world. So Jesus was sent into the world to be in the Father and the Father in Him. He sends us into the world for us to be in Him and Him to be in us. And that happens through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of Jesus who lives in us because we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. John 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14 makes an incredible statement here. Jesus is talking to His disciples. And He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in Me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. What's He talking about, because I go to the Father? He says over and over in these passages, I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to ask the Father to send back to you the Holy Spirit to live inside you like He lives inside of me. And because of that, because the Holy Spirit will be animating your ministry, you'll be able to do even greater things than I did. Because we're both operating with the same power. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you let Jesus live His life through you, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to let Him do signs and wonders through you, just like He did on this earth as the Holy Spirit was doing signs and wonders through Him. I want to show you what Jesus expects. This is not just theory. Jesus wants us to put this in practice. Look to Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 16. Got a lot to cover. I'm talking as fast as I can here. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Jesus, the last words that Jesus is saying to His disciples before He ascends to heaven. He says, these signs will accompany those who have believed in Me. He didn't say these signs will accompany ordained ministry. These are just for the apostles. He said every single believer, I expect every single believer to operate in these signs. How in the world could we do that? Through the Holy Spirit. What are the signs? He says they will, in My name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with other tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt them, and they'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. He's describing what He expects the normal life of a believer to be like. Lay hands on the sick and see him recover. You know, when I go to minister now in venues where we're doing healing conferences or revival conferences or whatever, and it comes time to pray for the sick, we may have teams of people, several people, several stations where people will line up in front of us for us to pray for them for healing. And what I've come to be led by the Lord to do now is not pray for those people myself, but to get other people in line and get them to come up. Let me anoint their hands, activate them in the Spirit, activate this gift that the Lord wants them to have of laying hands on the sick. And then I help them understand. Now pray a prayer of commandment in the name of Jesus over this sickness, whatever it is. and let's see what the Lord will do. And sure enough, over and over and over again, believers who've never prayed for anybody in their life will see person after person after person healed. And I'll get two or three, sometimes four or five people praying for each other like that and watching God do just what Jesus said He wants every believer to do. Lay hands on the sick and see him recover. He wants us to cast out demons. Every believer. He wants us to speak in tongues. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit we'll talk about later. Casting out demons is a kind of healing. It's deliverance healing. And in Acts 28:3-6, we're not going to look this up, but it tells a story about how we shouldn't even be subject to poisons if we're believers because of this Holy Spirit that's coursing through us. So this is what Jesus did, and this is what He expects us to do, is to just follow His example of what a Spirit-filled person living on this earth can do. Let me tell you a real quick story about how these things kind of work together. I was praying for a priest a couple of months ago. He had just taken over a new church, and his new pastor there is an existing congregation, so it had some issues and problems, and he's trying to come along and figure out how to do things. And he said, I just feel like I'm doing everything wrong. No matter what I do, I'm just not adequate. I just don't know what I'm doing. I don't seem to know how to even preach. I've forgotten how to preach even. It's just, I don't know what's going on. He said, would you please pray for me? And so I said, it sounds like you're having performance anxiety. He said, that's it. It's performance anxiety. I just can't perform. And I don't know how to get over this. And so we prayed for a few minutes. I prayed over him, laid hands on him, prayed over him in the Spirit, spoke in tongues for, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds or so over him. And as I did that, the Lord gave me a word for him. It was a prophetic word, and I started laughing because it was so funny. This is what the Lord said. He said, and I'm not going to say the guy's name, but he said, Pastor, if I was you without me, I would have performance anxiety too. Lord said, well, of course you have performance anxiety. You're trying to do this on your own. You can't do it on your own. You can only do this if I'm operating through you. The Lord said, let me empower every move that you make with the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, and you'll see great results and you'll see great success. Well, of course, that's how Jesus did it. And that's what He expects of us. So I know I said we're talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit and especially being used in ministry, but I felt like it was very important to take that little detour. And we're going to take another quick detour so you understand the concept of gifts of the Holy Spirit, because this I've seen this mistaught more than any other thing in the Bible. And this is what's taught. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to you, the believer, to use to help others. Like the Holy Spirit gives you the gift of healing, or He gives you the gift of word of knowledge or something like that. I want to dispel that for you, okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Before we get into the details of specific gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 10. So Paul is talking here and he says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the one Spirit. And he goes on like that. And I think we misread these particular scriptures. At least I know that I have, and every sermon I've heard about them comes from the wrong perspective. And I'll tell you why I say that. Paul says that these gifts are from the Holy Spirit, not to the person that is using the gift, or not the person through whom the gift goes through, but the gift is for the person receiving the ministry. We've always thought, oh, The Holy Spirit has given me the gift of healing, so now I can go out and heal the sick. That's not what it is. And if you'll reread this in this light, you'll see what I'm talking about. The gift is for the person being ministered to. They're the ones receiving the gift. You, the minister, you're just the one the gift is flowing through. It's coming from the Holy Spirit through you as a gift to this person that's being ministered to. The only exception, I think, is speaking in tongues just between yourself and God. This is when we're using our devotional prayer language, our personal prayer language. It's been called many things. This is not speaking in tongues in public and then having someone stand up and interpret. That's not what we're talking about. And I think that our private devotional language, that kind of speaking in tongues, is available to us all the time. And man, is it ever useful and helpful in every situation. But I mean, it's available to us all the time. And it's a gift that is truly a gift to us. Okay, now we're going to go over some of the gifts, some of the spiritual gifts. We probably won't get to that till next time. I'm going to list these gifts, kind of give you some examples about them. But before we do that, I want you to listen to me about these spiritual gifts. Every gift is available to operate through any and every believer. Debbie and I have been used in every single spiritual gift that I'm going to mention to you, and we've been used that way many times. You can operate in any gift as the Holy Spirit leads, because these gifts aren't yours. They're going through you to the person that you're ministered to. You'll notice that as we talk about these gifts, they're going to fall into roughly two categories. The first one is what I'm going to call prophetic gifts. I'm going to use that term kind of loosely. And these are the gifts that involve words, pictures, visions, dreams, interpretations of dreams. That is something that's communicated from God or from the Holy Spirit to the person that's receiving the gift. If I talked about the prophetic, I'm not necessarily talking about just the gift of prophecy. I'm talking about this broad category of communication gifts. The other category is miracles, and those are gifts that where something supernatural happens. It involves things like healings, multiplication, finding things, controlling the weather, that sort of thing. And so as we go through the list next time, you're gonna see they're gonna fall into these two categories. And then after we go through the gifts, we're gonna talk about how do you hear God for those prophetic gifts so you can operate more easily in those gifts. Okay, we'll pick this up next time.